Good morning. You love Jesus? Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a great day for the God, for being in the house of God, being together and wanting to know what God wants for our lives. You want to do what He says? All right. That's what is, has the real solutions for our lives. Well, I'm still in the wilderness. My wife thinks I ought to get out. And but that's the problem. Why are we here? What caused us to be in the wilderness? Why do we have problems? Why do we struggle? Why can't we seem to make progress? And so this morning I'm going to again bring a study on what God says about the problem. 40 years in the wilderness. Number 4. Neither let us commit fornication. 1 Corinthians 10:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." They had a situation that was, he is paralleling to our Christian relationship. We say, well, we've been baptized and did all eat the same spiritual meat. We have partaken of Christ and did all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ, which we have just had the Lord's Supper in commemoration of. Wonderful. Commendable. It's great that we have made that progress. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Just partaking and drinking and being there with God was enough. They needed to move forward. Remember, that's what Moses was told when Moses said, "Well, we'll just stand still here and see the salvation of Jehovah. God's going to save us." And Moses was told, "Why do you wait? Why do you stand here crying unto me? Go forward." God had some solutions, but the problem was that they hadn't listened. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And so we have had some studies on this. Neither be idolaters, as are some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's the people, they want to do their own thing. We are in charge. God doesn't need to intrude into our lives. And so, feasting and playing and having fun is the focus. And the 10th chapter here goes on to say, let us neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3 in 20,000. So we're going to focus on that today and see how that is affecting our world, our lives, and what we need to do about it. God has a solution. Man thrusts around and he fusses and struggles and comes up with his sociological programs and his philosophical concepts and everything, but the problems remain. The world has a sad situation going on. Unfortunately, it'd be nice if, it's great that we have this relationship we have in Christ. We can come here, get out of the world, it's refuge, and take refuge in Christ and our relationship with each other and avoid a lot of the problems. Unfortunately, It isn't quite that easy. You can't just isolate yourself completely. These things are affecting us. So the only thing we can do is deal with them. People have to make decisions on their own. Church can't dictate to people what they're going to do. But God has given His revelation, His workbook for solving the problems. He created us. He knows the answers. And we need to listen to it. And it's worked throughout the centuries for those who will listen. And it doesn't work for those who don't. The problems are there. So they were in the wilderness for 40 years, and he warns them how to get out, or tells them about the problems, and how they finally were able to get out. In Numbers 25:1, it tells about the occasion of this. It says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab." And that was their downfall. Fornication, in Greek, is porneo, from which we get pornography. Second edition of Art and Gingrich Lexicon, page 693, says it means prostitution, unchastity, fornication of every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse. Then, among other things, it specifies of the sexual unfaithfulness of married women. So it includes a whole variety of problems. Fornication is kind of a general blanket. Adultery is more confined to a violation of the marriage relationship, the confidence and responsibilities of the marriage. One of the problems, of course, is incest. And we find the problem mentioned specifically in 1 Corinthians 5:1 in the New Testament. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So incest within the family is a serious problem. Fathers or mothers molesting their own children or other relatives. It's going on all the time. Brothers and sisters having sexual relationships. These kind of things go on. It's much more pervasive than most of us have any idea. And it creates great damage. We need to understand, God isn't here trying to make it so we can't have any fun. Sex is good. It's not a bad thing. But God has placed some restrictions, some rules, some guidelines on it because He cares. He doesn't want these things to happen to us, the damage, the destruction. And as leaders of the church, we have a responsibility to be concerned about what happens to the flock of God and to our children particularly. Because if we can keep them out of some of these problems and bring them up through it, they will have good, stable homes and good relationships with themselves and God, and they'll avoid much of this. And so our role is that we care. A lot of people say, well, it's none of your business what we do. Well, let me tell you something. It's my business to do what God said to do. And God cares about the mess that people are making of their lives and the world and the church. God cares. The devil is the one who creates the problems. It's my business when people do things that create devastation and misery in the world, and then I have to pay for it. Or we have to pay for it as Christians. That's my business. It's my business when people do things that intrude into our homes and destroy our kids, cause problems in the families. That's my business. Don't tell me it's none of my business what people are doing. It is our business. It's our business when it impacts us. When they want to not charge us for their bills, when they want to stay out of our lives and don't intrude and cause problems for us, when they don't want to shove this stuff down our throats of our kids in schools, then fine. I don't care what happens to them, except that God does, and I do care from that standpoint. These kind of things are creating great problems. I even know of grandfathers who molested their grandchildren and gone to prison for it. You know, I know of a lot of this. I've been in this business for many years. Prostitution. Now, people want to legalize it. Some political leaders, I've discussed it with them. They say it's a good thing. Why, that solves a lot of the problems at home. Bunk. That's a lie. 1 Corinthians 6:16 through 18 says what? Know ye not that that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall be one flesh. You can't go out and have an affair or get involved sexually with somebody else outside your home and not have it affect your family or yourself. It's going to affect them in one way or another. So you become a part of the problem. It becomes a part of your problem. It becomes a part of you, and you become a part of it. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When we're joined to Christ, we shouldn't be joined also to some sexual situation outside of the marriage. There needs to be fidelity between husbands and wives, and our relationship with God should not be infected with the things of the devil. Flee fornication. That's what God says. That's the solution. Stay away from it. Don't get on the line and play with it. People play with this thing. They tease themselves and they tease each other. The problems so often come as a result of little flirtations and fooling around with it or whatever. But what they do is they gradually get control, and pretty soon they got huge problems that develop out of it. Broken homes, messed up relationships, all kinds of problems. Every sin that a man does is without the body or outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his body, because it has an effect. It undermines even our resurrection potential. Mental adultery. I'm talking about hard things today. On television they would say something about being responsible for what you're going to see. Well, I want you to think about these things. And if you don't want to hear it, then that's between you and God and the consequences. Matthew 5:27-29. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. People laugh at that. They think that, oh, you know, it's terrible for you to talk about adultery and those kind of things. Why, people should have freedom to do as they please. They're telling you a lie of the devil. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. Jesus said, concerning the Old Testament, he said, it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I'm going to tell you something. He says the problem starts with the heart. And that's where the problem starts. You play with this thing in here, and pretty soon the thing becomes a problem. And this, it doesn't just stay there. And if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not for your whole body should be cast into hell. There's going to be a consequence. And you need to ask yourself, is it worth it? Remove the problem. Get away from it. Get this stuff out of your heart so that you won't have problems as a result of it. Pornography is a vicious thing. A lot of people think it's just an innocent pastime. Well, it isn't. It has an effect. And we got all kinds of problems in our society because of it. I don't even remember these kind of things that used to go on, or they go on now, of mass killings of people, what do they call them, killers that just keep doing it over and over. What? Yes. And this kind of behavior that ultimately those people are always involved in pornography. They sop it up. And not only just light pornography, but the hardcore stuff where they're beating women and so on. This is one of the problems here. God cares about women, and God cares about men. But these things are demeaning to women. They are ugly things that lower a woman's value in her own eyes and value in the eyes of others. And it just destroys the wholesomeness and the goodness of womanhood. It's not fair to them at all. Pornography is one of the biggest industries in this country. It is a $1 billion industry. Actually, multiple $1 billion. And it is even shoved into our kids' faces through email or online. You don't have to ask for it. It just comes. I've had it come on my machine, on my email. Somebody decided to send it to me. And you can't get rid of it. So the only thing you can do is make your machine say, "Don't answer this site." And then they change the names all the time. I finally had to change my whole mailing program. Women share in this problem. It's not just a man's problem. Although, I want to say, a lot of men say, well, it's the women's fault. They're going to blame them. If it weren't for the women, we wouldn't be this way. Well, I'm going to tell you this. That's not true. Because it doesn't matter how much a woman wraps herself up, men have a mental image that doesn't relate to that. And so it's false. And men have no excuse. But women do share in the problem. They create it. They complicate it right along with the men. They pose for that pornography. That wasn't done by men alone. Men did. Men usually get the money, most of the money out of it, although some women are in charge for a lot of this. They pose for it. Women dress provocatively to draw attention. They imitate the fornicators of the world. And like the Bible talks about, people wearing the attire of a harlot. And they do it. They imitate this stuff. They do it to draw attention. If they want to get attention, what do? The hilly weird crowd dresses and behaves like a bunch of Jersey cows in heat. And with their implants, look like them too. I was born and raised on a farm, so I have a farm boy's viewpoint on these things. Necklines to the belly button, and skirts that often are close to making their from the other direction. See through everything and sit to show it. Look on, you go to some program, news program or anything else, and here's some woman cocked up with her leg up in the air, and you're not supposed to see it. Years ago, we used to have miniskirts. Fortunately, things are a little better today in that respect. And they wore these things that were clear up. And I remember one lady getting very indignant because some fellow who was passing the communion looked at her legs. What in the world? I don't think he should be thinking or looking at the wrong things. But when you put it on display, what do you expect? Who's to blame for that? Sadly, many women and girls choose or are pressured into mimicking this crowd, these leaders. The short shorts, fortunately, they're not really so bad anymore. I'm pleased with that. I noticed when I was younger years ago, they used to have the real short shorts, and now when they play at the basketball games and things, they're pretty good. I think that's great. We make some progress in the right direction, but then pretty soon somebody will turn it around the other direction, and we've got to sell them something that's provocative. Swimsuit wear is often barely a string. Provocative dancing and clothing. Some of this stuff is utterly indecent that goes on. They're skilled, I'll grant that, and it isn't the dancing itself that's the problem, but the way they behave and the things they show is outrageous. Provocative ice skating and clothing conduct there. What am I supposed to do? Sit there and see nothing? You know, I'm amazed. There should be a little bit of respect and decency. Little girls are dressed at time taught to act provocatively in shows. I'm just going to take a little girl and start getting her trained to be provocative in her dress and her actions. And they wonder why she gets killed or something that way. What is wrong with people? Don't they think at all? They have no sense of reality? Cheerleaders dress provocatively. You know, when I was a kid, young guy in high school, they required us to go to the assemblies. And they had these girls get up there and turn their little bottoms up, you know, and jump around and everything. And I was very concerned. It bothered me. I mean, I'm a young guy. I'm not made of India rubber. And so I walked down to the office of the school superintendent, and I said, you know, I'm not going back. You guys can do what you please, but I'm not going to be there. And he said, would you do me a favor? Would you go back next time? And if you're still not satisfied, you don't have to go anymore. Next assembly, I went back. You know what happened? They had required the girls to dress reasonably modest. And, you know, that made a difference. I'm one person. Now, I don't doubt there were a lot of others. But I spoke up. And I said, I'm not going to be a part of this. And it made a difference. Now, none of your business, you know, so I don't care. It is my business. When I have to have this stuff shoved in my face, 1 Peter 3, 1 and 4, 4 through 4 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. People need to dress in modest apparel. God said it, and Christians should do it. And we shouldn't have to have this stuff shoved in our faces. Divorce. This country is ridiculous. It's divorce. people jump into bed and out of bed. They join up, and now they don't even bother to divorce. They don't even bother to marry. This thing is outrageous, and it's terribly destructive. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That's the way God planned it. God designed a wholesome, good relationship where two people are working together to raise children in a good environment under God's guidance. But people have abandoned that. They don't want God to say anything to them. They want to come and go. And I'm not saying that every divorce is that you can never divorce. Keep this under consideration. I'm caring about the problem. I'm not trying to judge people. I'm talking about the realities of the problem. Divorce is a problem. And God said it was because of the hardness of people's hearts that it happens. And that doesn't mean that everybody is to blame. People who are unfaithful to their wives or husbands create a problem that is intolerable, and God allows the divorce in that case, but God is not happy with it. He said very plainly that He hates divorce. And I'm not requiring women to stay in abusive relationships, but I'm saying there needs to be some changes made so these relationships aren't destroyed and so kids can be raised in a good, wholesome relationship. That's what God wants, and that's what we try to help people to do. I spend a lot of time over the years trying to help people in these kind of situations. People get married in a few weeks or months, or next thing you know, they're out the door. Matthew 19:4-9 says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that which is made them from the beginning, made them male and female?" By the way, it's male and female. I wonder if you get the drift of that. Male and female. That's who's supposed to be, God said to be married. "And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." And so whoever is to blame in these situations, destroy these marriages. It is not good for kids to be raised in a one-parent home. I admire the women who, or the men even, who take responsibility and make it a success in spite of it. But it is not easy, and it's hard for the kids, and it hurts. They say unto him, people carry these things throughout their lives, kids that are affected by these things. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. God never planned it that way. He allowed it because of the impossible situation. How are you going to have a man or a woman who has to live with a man who is out chasing skirts someplace and bringing home disease or beating your wife or whatever? God had to deal with it, but it is a terrible thing, and those responsible, God's going to hold responsible. He said to them, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. And I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife except to be for fornication and shall marry another commits adultery. And whoso marries her which is put away commits adultery. Now, people can just harangue that and hate that and hate the Bible and hate God and hate religion all they please. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a judgment day. And those who are participating in these things and haven't repented are going to answer to the Supreme Court of Heaven. It isn't going to be, well, that I wasn't illegal or I didn't displease some political group or something. Unfaithfulness and divorce results in massive damage. Single-parent homes, financial struggles, trying to pay for two or more homes, even suicide, mental breakdowns, and murder result from this problem. I'm dealing with a situation right now. The guy shacked up with a woman and got her pregnant. Later on, he becomes a Christian, which is a great thing. He marries a Christian woman, and you got problems. What kind of problems? What kind of problems do people have? They've been had a kid before. What kind of problem do you think? There is a daughter who is in this middle of this situation. He has some responsibilities to her, even though she isn't the daughter of his present wife. And she is going to she is having huge problems. And the first wife, or the wife, is very jealous and upset because, and whenever he has to have any responsibility relating and dealing with the previous woman or her daughter. And now she's left him. So these are the kind of messes that come because people don't listen to God in the first place. There, even any, practically any day, you can read about a murder or suicide or something over, you know, some of these situations that go on. You know, we care. I understand when people get into problems. And we try to help, and we care. We want to make the best of it. And the people right here in our own congregations can testify to that. But listen, we have to listen earlier. We've got to have our young people understand earlier. We've got to keep them out of these situations. It's difficult. It's terribly difficult to try to go back and undo the mess that a bad decision makes. You understand that? Do you see how much we care? Do you see how much it affects, harms of people's lives? Premarital sex, our national pastime. Shacking up instead of responsibility. Somebody said, why buy the cow when the milk is free? People don't want to, they have no responsibility. No need to be responsible. You know, we'll just have a little fling here. Well, I'll tell you, don't stop there. And later on when you get married, then you got these memories and problems that come out of it. Consequences, widespread disease and cancer. This is happening. Don't tell me that you can solve the problem by using a balloon. It doesn't solve anything. You maybe to some extent you protect to some extent some protection, but they don't protect adequately and they don't always work. And some are taking some medication ultimately to solve the problem. It doesn't solve it. This is insanity of our country and our culture. Emotional problems that come out of it. People don't want to think about these. All the emotion, the terrible, messed up people because of these relationships that they get into. And then it goes on and on and on. Children without proper parents. You know, a child deserves a mother and a father who are going to raise them and take care of them. These kids are born with a stigma, and you may not think that it should exist or does exist. You're wrong. It does. And later on, when the kid is looking for his dad or his mother, or these things create problems down the road. The kid is trying to make a contact with their natural parent, and then that affects that family. These things cause serious trouble. Unprepared and blighted marriages. People get involved with sex, and they have a kid. And, you know, if you think you can just tell people, well, just wear some kind of a condom, you can tell them that and stop them from, and get them to do that, you're just not using logic. You don't know the experiences. People don't. Many times, some will, but mostly they don't. It's unrealistic. And this blights the marriage. It blights their futures. If you have a child, then what do you have to do? You got somebody, this child has to be taken care of. And so where is your time going to go? How are you going to go to college and get training, get preparation? This messes up people's futures, and in many other ways too. 1 Corinthians 7:2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. He makes the exception that if you don't have to, then fine, don't. But this is how you solve the problem. Get married. And that's a commitment. That's not some kind of a casual relationship. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness of covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Homosexual perversion. It's destructive to society. This kind of thing has a huge problem with the disease problem. Millions being killed because of it. It's none of our business. We have to pay for it. Ridiculous. Jude 1:7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange pleasure, set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God didn't like it. Romans 1:22 and 29. Professing himself to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like to a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. People make the images in their own minds nowadays. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. People, there is no God. We just evolved. And so, it doesn't matter what we do. We do what we please. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, doing that which is indecent, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And likewise also the men, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. Our culture is obsessed with sex. We have the appetite of a maggot. Comedy routines. I remember days when they used to have some just funny, good, wholesome comedy routines. You know, I'm having trouble ever. When I run on any of this stuff, it's always sex, 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 sex. They don't know anything else. They think that's the only thing that's funny, apparently. News, the affairs of prominent people is common, always being shoved in our faces. And anything that's lewd, salacious, wicked, that's the stuff of the news. Advertisements, books, plots, magazines. The advertisements always sex sells. Remember that? And so they shove that stuff always in your face. And some of it is just outrageous. Television programs. The judges. Do you ever listen to any of those judges and what's going on? People come up there. I tell you, if I was such a fool as to get into those situations, I would not be such a fool as to come up and display it before the whole nation. This is crazy. What a bunch of idiots we've got. The soaps. Sex, 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 sex. The trailer trash programs. What was that? Who's that guy on the that they get into fights and bash each other and cuss each other and take off their clothes and Sex in the City. Well, I suppose they all have sex in the country next. The criminal cases that go on, people killing each other over sex or all kinds of stuff. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know whether I'm one of the inmates or one of the keepers. Our private jokes and speaks. And speech. It's constantly, people are, it's salacious, talking. And it's, it used to be that the men did it and respected the women by not doing it in their presence. Now they all do it. And they just talk lewd and crude. And it's a national disgrace. Kids write four-letter words on the walls. You know, constantly. Where did they learn them, I wonder? People say, oh, we shouldn't restrict the programs and things like that. Freedom of speech and all that sort of stuff. And you think it has any effect? Oh, no, it doesn't affect anybody. You know, it makes us innocent talk. Yeah. Kids' parties are often drunken sex orgies. Now, you know, I thank God that we have people in our churches who don't have, young people who have a better relationship to God that restrains them from this kind of stuff, but they're being tempted always. Come to this party, come to that party. And there they get everything. 1 Corinthians 10. 11 to 12 says, now these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God is trying to help us. He cares for us. And the church is trying to help people to live good lives, wholesome lives, where we can raise our kids right. But instead, the world is constantly intruding. It intrudes through the things we view, the movies, anything that we go to, anything that you're involved with. The devil is shoving that stuff into our faces. In our schools, the stuff is promoted in some of the classroom situations. Anti-God teachings. And we have to pay for it with our taxes. Well, it is my business, believe me. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned for our young people. I care about our kids. And when they make a mistake, I'm not being judgmental. I'm being caring. I'm concerned for them. I try to help them. And we do everything we can. And then, unfortunately, years later, because of some things that happened, somebody is second-guessing us and telling us how bad we did. We did such a poor job. Well, yes, it's failed. We tried. But I am saddened and I'm concerned about the damage and the destruction that's being done on the lives of people. Should I care? Should I say, oh, I'm a preacher, it don't matter what you do? Or should I tell you what God said to tell you? That's what I'm trying to do, because I do care. We do care. We want people to be happy, and that's why we try to give everything we can to solve these problems. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. When we think we know it all, and we can play games with the devil, and we can be involved in all this kind of stuff and think that we're foolish, that we think that we're not going to be affected. Take heed. Let's be standing and sing our song of invitation. I've decided to follow Jesus. Have you? It's made a difference in my life. You know, as a kid, I was in a lot of this stuff myself. And I had to make a decision. Some of the worst kinds of things. And I made a decision, and God made a change in my life. He's given me a good home, a good wife, good kids, and a good church to serve and to share with others. Thank you very much. I've decided to follow Jesus. Thank you.